May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. The Christian faith, says Herbert O'Driscoll, is based on an event anchored firmly in time. It is not a legend, although some of the world's most beautiful legends have clustered around it. It is not a myth, although it has great mythological power. It is not a piece of art, although artistic genius has drawn great inspiration from it. It touches on all these, yet it is much, much more. It's an event. Into a world like ours, at a time very like our own, there came a man of such integrity and wholeness, such beauty of personhood, that those associated with him learned to believe certain things about him. Those attitudes did not spring into existence fully formed. They grew as anything alive and organic must grow. They began, like all relationships, with an unarticulated attraction, and often led to sudden exclamations of spontaneous faith. In Caesarea Philippi, in response to Jesus' question, Peter burst out, "You are the Messiah." After the resurrection, Thomas cries out, "My Lord and my God." And the unknown pair who rushed up breathless from Emmaus speak of their hearts burning within them when they recognize the stranger in the breaking of bread. Only in later years did they see through the layers of personal and communal experiences, unraveling and articulating what they had experienced. This is done by the gospel writers and the epistle writers, John and Paul among them. The innocence and the spontaneity of that long ago Galilean Lakeside fellowship is lifted for us today into the majesty of the first chapter of John's Gospel. When all things began, the Word already was. The Word was with God. And what God was, the Word was. All that came into being was alive with his life. And that life was the light of all people. So the Word became flesh. He came to dwell among us. And we saw his glory. Such glory as befits the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This man walked among the people and the institutions of his time, and his passing was like that of a light. The light revealed people in their fragility and pretense and loss. at the same time, it filled them with a longing for the kingdom for which all men and women long, and communicated to those who came under his influence the certainty that they were loved and affirmed to a depth which they had not thought possible. His life and his words penetrated the institutional structures which became unaccustomed allies in his destruction. For he exposed the network of ambiguous values, political expediency, and vicious self-interest, which are a part of all human experience. Now, we tend as human beings to back away from bright light, either metaphorical or actual. We are wary of those who we feel can see through us for what we fear we all are. And organizational structures are apt to deal summarily with people who criticize them or threaten their existence. This is very true of hierarchies which wield great power. To keep that power, they are capable of doing very ugly things. One extremely strong institution, wielding great political and economic power, was prepared to see Jesus of Nazareth destroyed in the most brutal and humiliating way that could be devised at that time. Jesus' death was so full of cynicism and injustice that it shattered and demoralized the community which had formed around him and which had identified with his words, his life, and his person. The day after the crucifixion, that community existed only in the most pathetic and fragile way. Now, the evidence for what happens next lies with that community, and it lies with this one as well. They have left us a clear and convincing record of how they became aware that the man they had seen die on a cross was yet among them in a way which, although it was mysterious and awe-inspiring, left no doubt that his presence and his life and his words are electrifyingly real. The fact that we are here today to celebrate the presence of Jesus with his community, both before the resurrection and after, is our response to the Word made flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.